Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm.
Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
With Dusty Hera.
That kid probably needs to be punched in the face.
In an ideal world, I would have all 10 fingers on my left hand, so my right hand could just be a fist for punching.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
No, I'm not a meat gazer.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
He's like the Lone Ranger, and I'm like Tonto. And it's not like there was the Lone Ranger and Tonto and Bonto.
The Fan.
All right, case of the Monday is still rolling in on the Better You Today text line 55305.
Also, Klamath Defenders. Great golf there.
There is Running Y.
P1 Alex.
Yeah, Running Y golf course.
What a great name.
Really nice.
Why are you running? Play golf there.
Running Y. Running Y. Yeah. Because it's nice. They do have good golf there. But it's mostly a dump. We had this.
I feel like you, anywhere outside of the Portland proper area, as we get, you've said, nah, it's kind of a dump.
Oh, no. Ashland is beautiful. Eugene is nice. Corvallis is very nice.
Very nice.
Hood River, like Hood River.
Right. I'm just checking. I'm leaning on your experience here.
Bend is great.
Yeah.
Love Bend.
I'm excited. I'm going to Bend.
See?
Not till May.
I like
for Memorial Weekend.
I like most of the Oregon coast. Some sketchy spots in there.
Yeah.
But no, the dumps. I'm not afraid to call them.
Not afraid to call it, huh?
Nope. LeGrand, looking at you.
Woo.
Klamath, looking at you.
Do we find it strange that they're all based upon your hatred for those teams, kind of bias?
The other schools
football
there?
Football teams, yeah.
No. I mean, I think that if you just ask people, they'll agree too. Towns are pretty dumpy. Here's one, though, on the case of the Mondays that we got. Where'd it go? Oh, found out Friday I broke my tailbone. X-ray shows I've got a 2-inch tail pointed the wrong way. Now it's Monday, and I'm back to my desk job. Have you ever bruised your tailbone?
Yeah.
That is a miserable feeling. I couldn't imagine having a broken one.
A 2-inch tail pointed the wrong way. I don't even know how that happens. That's a horrific accident. Hopefully it's all right.
Yeah. That would suck.
As a common folk, how do you break your tailbone?
That's a good question. What were you doing to break your tailbone?
Must have been a fall of somewhere. Putting up the Christmas lights. By the way.
In the rain.
Did you see the guy on TV? They put it out. He was doing a tribute to Christmas Vacation.
Like it?
And at his house, he put up a Clark W. Griswold dummy hanging from the gutters. And somebody came by and called the emergency, and they got it on camera of the guy running over with a ladder.
Yeah.
And it's a dummy, and they call the police, they call the fire department. He's like, I got you, don't worry, you're hanging. It was wonderful.
It was like a mansion, too. The house was beautiful.
And
the ladder was tipped sideways, and it had a guy hanging
from it. Made my day.
That was
hilarious. It was wonderful.
And then the sheepish... never mind.
There's going to be some outraged person. That's just so you wasted our local all the people that came out there.
It's a great.
How dare
thing.
You do that to them?
Well,
it's
now
exactly
everyone,
how they talk too. You ever notice that?
Yes, it is. They can keep it up now because everybody knows it's a dummy.
Well, you have to put a sign up that says it's a dummy. Don't worry.
It's
you're
a dummy.
You're the dummy that came over.
It's a dummy, dummy.
Mm-hmm.
How about you go to that?
Thought it was great.
Okay. 55305, Better You Today text line. Keep your case of the Mondays coming in. What do you think of the rookie quarterback class this year? When you mentioned Josh Allen made some history. 3-game span tied beat Michael Vick for the most rushing yards by a quarterback over a 3-game span. He's averaging 99 yards per game since his return from injury
ground. It's taken Tom Brady 18 years to get 1,000. And Josh Allen did 335 in 3 games.
Wow. Josh Allen, better than Tom Brady. I think we can deduce that.
Okay.
No?
Same division.
Not going to go that far, are we? But what do we, I mean, honestly, you've got Baker Mayfield is playing out of his shorts right now. And he's playing really well.
Playing well.
5 wins for the Cleveland Browns. They've actually won more games since Hugh Jackson left than they did during his entire tenure as head coach.
Right.
They get a huge win this past weekend over Carolina to hand them their fifth straight loss. He's playing well, but what do you make of the other guys? Darnold has had his struggles mightily. Rosen, Allen. Lamar Jackson has played decent, but he's had a fantastic defense to play behind.
It wasn't a mistake by Lamar Jackson in the game, but Justin Houston made a huge strip sack. And I thought, if you're going to throw the football there, you're playing to win the football game, and Baltimore and John Harbaugh were making the right decisions there. They just got caught in a good blitz, and that's what happened to Kansas City. So I thought Lamar Jackson's played well, taking a job from a guy that's, I mean, let's be honest, you win a Super Bowl in Baltimore, and really, what has happened ever since then?
They've been mediocre to bad.
Yeah, and whose fault would that be?
It's not all Joe Flacco, but he's a big reason for it.
It's not just a Joe Flacco issue. It's the fact that he's kind of not resting on your laurels. He's not a guy that is, you've always looked at as a game changer. I mean, they won the Super Bowl. They beat the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh that year with their defense. And they had some good offense. But now Lamar Jackson looks like a guy that can play in the league. I think they're going to have to make some changes really offensively, but Baltimore's defense is nasty.
Well, and here's the thing.
Always has been, always will be.
Well, here's the thing with Joe Flacco, though, is that they won the championship, and then those guys started retiring, and then they became we have to find a way to get younger and rebuild this defense. Mm-hmm. And they did take intentionally some steps back. And Ozzie Newsome, was pretty vocal about it, that, hey, we've got to make a lot of changes. They let a lot of guys go. But Joe Flacco wasn't the guy who could buoy up a franchise to be better than what the teardown was.
It's hard to sit here.
Carry
it. Right. I mean, and that's a team that you're looking at Lamar Jackson. He's going to be in the league for a little while. Hopefully he doesn't go down the RG3 road where he gets an injury and smart. And Deshaun Watson is why, in his second year, Houston is playing so well. And they got some great talent, too. Because DeAndre Hopkins might be my favorite wide receiver in the game.
He good.
Along with Michael Thomas. So if you're looking at just rookies, Josh Rosen, I don't know what we would grade the Arizona Cardinals as, is just forgettable. Kind of forgettable.
Their offense as a team. Sucks.
Yeah, very forgettable. They fire their offense coordinator into the season. So that's we'll throw that one to the wayside. Baker Mayfield by far is having the best year. I think that looking at what Sam Darnold's done with the Jets, that's another team, and I believe that Todd Bowles. Thank you. Todd Bowles will be fired at the end of the year.
Yes.
I think he will be gone, and then they're going to bring in something new, bring in some more talent. Those are the only two. Baker Mayfield is by far head and shoulders kind of had the best year.
He's running away.
Right. And was it a mistake to not play him out of the gate and have Tyrod Taylor? Might be. It looks that way now.
Okay. Here's my question for you, though. Rosen in Arizona, void of talent. Darnold in New York. We knew it going in, void of talent offensively. Yeah. I mean, it's a bad offense that they're rolling out there.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield also has the best cast around him.
No question. Talent around you. You can't be that average. You can be an average quarterback, but look really, really good, Kirk Cousins, and make millions because you have good talent around you.
And it give Cleveland credit where credit is due. Antonio Callaway, rookie, popping. Nick Chubb, mm-hmm. popping. Jarvis Landry in that trade that they made worked out phenomenally for them. Njoku, who's been a solid, tight end for them, is a solid player working out. Their offensive line is the big issue, but they're starting to come together as well.
So if you had a choice right now, you can text it in at the Better You Today text line, of all the quarterbacks right now, knowing that what you know moving forward, which one do you like or which one would you take to move your franchise forward? Who has given you those little bit of glimpses, or have you seen enough? Do you see those plays? Is it Baker? Some of his nice little reverse handoff, Statue of Liberty, little reverse handoff he is. His trickeration he's got.
He's just got moxie, too.
He does. He's got, I think he's got oodles of arm talent.
Ooh.
He's got that moxie leadership. He's not the guy that I like. Okay, I'm still sticking by my guns with Sam Darnold. He's the one I'm taking, but do you like Josh Allen? Do you like Josh Rosen? Do you like Lamar Jackson? Who do you like? It's really apples and oranges when you look at it. What type of system do you like, and who's the leader that you want in the huddle with?
I like Baker Mayfield. Yeah. I like him a lot.
You can't argue against his personalities.
I still think that if you look at the talent of the quarterback, I think Sam Darnold has the potential to be that guy, but Sam Darnold is continuing to make the same mistakes that he did in college in the NFL, which is he's very turnover prone. And in the NFL, that can be your bugaboo. What will it be when he has more talent around him? I mean, hey, I guess we'll find out. Hopefully, the Jets can turn it around,
sure,
and he can get talent around him. But he's not throwing to wide open receivers like Baker Mayfield. He's got some dudes that are bare open, screaming down the field.
Yeah,
and that makes it a lot easier on you.
And this text says, "Better you today." Text line: can't judge rookie quarterbacks on bad teams for 3 years. Well, I think coaching is certainly going to matter.
Jared Goff.
Yeah. Jared Goff was a throwaway. Nobody gave him a chance. In fact, I mean, I looked at it too. I said, coaching is everything. And I looked at it from what Jeff Fisher's a quarterback killer. What's going to happen moving forward? Who's going to get a new coach? The only one that I think is going to get a new coach is Sam Darnold. You're not firing a first year coach in Arizona.
You'll get a new
coordinator. You get a new coach in Cleveland. Sorry, you probably will get a new coach in Cleveland. And there's a couple good ones that are out there. Mike McCarthy, Bruce Arians. There's a couple coaches that are out there. Some retreads you might see come in there. I don't think they bring in a genius. Lincoln Riley is not leaving Oklahoma,
folks.
I don't think
they should either.
Well, he's not leaving Oklahoma unless he goes and wins the national title this year.
You know, Freddie, I hope they keep Freddie Kitchens, their OC, though. He's doing a good job with that offense. You know,
again, when you have a little bit of talent, it makes it a little bit easier to call plays.
Yes, it does. All right. You know, speaking of the young and impressive coordinators, Auburn just hired a new offensive coordinator, and there's some buzz around that guy. But we'll revisit our textual relations. Kyler Murray winning the Heisman Trophy. And it's been 20 years of dominance for Oklahoma at the quarterback position, something that we haven't seen, I don't know, ever. 8:15 on the Fan. P1 Pete chiming in. Watching the Miami final play, all I could think of was Cam's pick on Friday while saying that he'd take the Dolphins because the Pats don't win in Miami. Nice, Cam. You did call it.
Well, a lot of people. I'm not the only one that says it. I mean,
no, you were firm in it.
Well, I was firm on it only because even when I was watching the game, I was like, this is going to be a close game. It's not going to be a blowout.
Nope.
Patriots had it under control. They did everything right at the end of the game. They just didn't make, I'm sorry, Miami made one more play.
You know what?
They just had that moment where even though you got to take your foot off the gas and say, okay, we'll just keep everything in front of you, somebody make a play, didn't do it. Couldn't finish. It's always about finishing. That's why you play a full game.
Watching that stupid play for the 5 billionth time.
69 yards. Sorry.
Don't remind me.
69. And Gronk was your last line.
But watching that stupid play, I couldn't help but think, God, those throwback uniforms are awesome for Miami.
Yeah, that was good.
Why did they ever change? Why? They looked good. They looked really good.
Because everybody likes a little bit of change because then they're not throwback unless you change.
True. Okay, 55305 is Better You Today text line. We were talking as part of our textual relations about the internet brigade of people that are criticizing Kyler Murray for his albeit poor tweets, but as a 14-year-old, mm-hmm, when they dug them up, and how petty that is by reporters to do that and ruin the young man's day of winning the Heisman Trophy because of tweets he sent when he was 14, and he does regret. But coming out of it, we're not talking about Kyler Murray winning the Heisman Trophy and what possibly could be the best run of quarterback play we've ever seen in college football.
Yeah.
Think of the last 20 years at Oklahoma. 1999, Josh Heupel is the quarterback for Oklahoma. He hands it off to Jason White, who gives it to Rhett Bomar, who was damn good until he got caught working at a car dealership and not getting paid for it. Then you go to Sam Bradford, Landry Jones, Trevor Knight, Baker Mayfield, and now Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Think of that run of quarterback play that they have had at the University of Oklahoma, and you tell me every single one of those guys that I just named has been in the conversation, yeah, or won the Heisman Trophy.
Well, it's Bob Stoops and his system and now Lincoln Riley and what they've always been able to do. I think, too, you get great quarterback play when you have consistency at the coaching position. Consistency, having somebody there for a long time, you start to develop a place where guys want to go play quarterback. Because when they see a quarterback be a Heisman Trophy, not just a candidate, but go ahead and win, where do all the top quarterbacks want to play? I want to play in that system. If you're a quarterback right now in this country, what do you want to do? Turn around and hand it off?
No.
What do you want to do?
Baby. I want to throw.
You want to chuck it all over the yard because that's cool. That's stats. We're all about stats, yeah, what makes your team great. is stats. Well, in the Big 12, stats mean everything. Offensively, nobody plays defense, and we mean nobody. They trot 11 guys out there, but it's about just kind of just keeping everybody in front.
Yeah. We say that, you know, and that is, I mean, when you think of it, Josh White, Sam Bradford, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, all Heisman Trophy winners. Mm-hmm. And we say that there is a gimmick aspect. And I thought it was really good. Did you watch the interview that when they had all the coaches up there on the stage for the college football playoff? Mm-hmm. They had all of them up there on stage doing an interview for the College Football Award Show on Thursday. And Lincoln Riley goes, our offense isn't a gimmick. Like, we're looking at it like that. Like they are an air raid offense at its core. But they run the football well, too, because let's not forget they have had backs like Joe Mixon, DeMarco Murray. They've had some awesome backs in their backfield. But they kind of do prove that if you have talent, you can win with that style of play.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can win at a ridiculously high level.
He was the best quarterback in my mind. I thought he deserved it, and that was the right decision. What has happened post then and seeing the Twitter feeds and understanding that a young man at 14 made mistakes, the outrage of some of you out there, and that's, you know what, be outraged. And guess what? You'll wake up, you'll be fine. Okay? If you get offended, you'll be fine. But what you need to have is just, in my mind, is just perspective of what a 14-year-old is and what a 13, 14, and 15-year-old is. These kids are just, that's exactly what they are, kids. Twitter is a destructor. It really is. It can destroy you, but should he have scrubbed? At this point, I want to get past of is that we don't have patience for it, but whoever took the time to thumb through, because really that's what you did. You thumbed through someone's Twitter feed between thousands and thousands of tweets to try to find something damning to ruin a young man's opportunity. I don't know what kind of person that is or where you find value on your day. But boys, please just pull your lip over your head and swallow.
You just did it to ruin his
All a favor and grumpy old man, pull your lip over your head and just swallow.
Because the tweets that Kyler Murray had, they are regrettable. He used the word queer as a derogatory term towards his friends on four instances when he was 14 and 15 years old. But at the same time, he was forthright, got on it immediately, apologized, and it was actually, we were talking about this with like the Kareem Hunt stuff. Mm-hmm. Show contrition in your apologies, right?
Yeah.
And he did that. And the fact of the matter is he was 14 years old. This is social media era, and Kyler Murray is not the first. He will not be the last of young athletes, young celebrities whose social media comes back and bites them. But to take a 14-year-old who is tweeting on social media and throw something in his face that he is now, what, 20? Mm-hmm. And sit there and say, this is who you are as a person, I think that is low. And you did it without even having Kyler Murray give a chance to defend himself or have any idea that something like this is coming. Because this was done by reporters, not by fanboys out there. I think it's low to do it to Kyler Murray the way they did it.
And I don't think it's going to take away. For me, it's not taken away. There's the ones with perspective and all of us out there that are clear thinkers a little bit and understand that everybody makes mistakes. I mean, I'll raise my hand, made 1,000 mistakes, and I'm probably going to make more too. But to single out a young teenager, and those of you that are teachers that have kids understand how this is just a really simple word, how dumb young kids can be.
Right.
And so do we not have any patience for this anymore? Is that what we are with this? I know it's sports. There are bigger things to deal with in our world other than just sports. But for this one single moment, it's nice to see a young guy, and he did apologize and all the things, and it's not going to change anything moving forward. He's probably going to be a very good baseball player. He joins the ranks of a lot of great athletes that are baseball players and Heisman Trophy winners. So I wish him nothing but luck, and I am super excited to see him go up against Alabama. And everyone out there that thinks Alabama's just going to run roughshod on him.
You know what the new wave is going to be?
I got another thing coming for you.
What?
This is not going to be a walk in the park game. Folks, Tua is hurt. You see the boot on. He had surgery. Okay, Jalen Hurts. Now, the defense is really good in Alabama. That is not even a question. Elite defense. But those of you who think that they are not panicking having to go up against an offense like that, Alabama has seen nothing like what Oklahoma's going to throw up. When I mean nothing, don't tell me that Georgia has some great offense. It doesn't. Okay, it's pretty simple, pretty structured, pretty disciplined. But Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. But who replaced Jalen Hurts? Tua. Or you'd be talking about the Georgia Bulldogs national champions.
Isn't Jalen Hurts like something ridiculous, like 14-1 or 15-1 as a starting quarterback? Yeah. Like, he's good.
You know, he's very good, but it's nice to have that group of Alabama talent around you. Great talent, great defense, best coaches. But I'm saying this is not going to be, I know this line is big. Is it still 11.5? What it is?
I think it's 14.5.
Yeah, it might be huge. Sorry. It might be really big.
No, the Clemson Notre Dame line is 11, and I think this one is 14.
It's 14. I'm not buying into it. Okay, it might get crazy at towards the end a little bit, but you're not going to shut down Oklahoma and embarrass them. I'm just not thinking so.
How many stops do you think Alabama's defense gets?
They'll get some stops.
And then do we believe?
What's the average possessions in a game? Somewhere around 14, 15? If you get possessions, just depending on how the game goes, if they're going to play lightning. It really depends on what Alabama wants to do. Do they want to get into a shootout with them? Do they want to sit back? Do they want to be able to play different types of coverages and allow Oklahoma to go short, and not give up big plays? Or do they want to attack them, play man defense, and bring lots of pressure? It really depends on what Nick Saban wants to do defensively.
Unleash hell. That's what they wanted. I think they're going to run the ball, be more conservative because they're not used to playing in shootouts like that. Yeah. But if it gets to that point, then heck yeah, they'll be willing to do it. That line is 14, by the way. And if you're wondering, the Oregon Ducks, 1.5-point favorites up to 3.
Moving
in Oregon's favor. Favorites in their game in the Red Box Bowl against Michigan State, which you can hear right here on The Fan. All right, it's always awkward, often offensive, or no, that's not what we're doing right now.
I mean, we could, but we're not.
It's the mishaps, miscues, and blunders of the weekend, just like that one. Wide right next on The Fan. Here's Buck.
One play does not a game make.
Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
Who says you can't lose on a single play?
Yellow! Oh, Leon Lett!
This is Wide Right, a look back at the plays that made the weekend memorable.
Ernest Biner. Fumble the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my.
Wide Right with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
No good. Wide Right.
The Fan.
All right, let's crank it up, Buck. Where we start. In Philly, Army-Navy playing for the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy on CBS, looking to make it a one-score game. Navy had the ball first and 10 from the 16 with just 11 minutes to play when disaster strikes.
It's Lewis on the keeper, and Lewis has got it first to goal, but the ball is out. And Army's got it.
You fumble inside the 5-yard line, and you end up losing 17-10. You lost by a touchdown, and you had the ball inside the goal line.
Classic military battle right there.
I watched almost all of that game.
Yeah.
Navy did everything they could to give that one away.
Yeah, they did everything they could to lose it. Do you know that game hit the Vegas under for the over-under for the 13th year in a row?
Sounds like an easy bet.
There is no number, no line that they could make that game low enough. To where
this
you won't
year
win.
Was 40. I think it finished at what? That was 17-10, so 27.
27. Let's head to the Heisman Trophy presentation. Vasily Krishnamurti is a Heisman Trophy trustee who announced the winner, but he didn't do a very good job of announcing the runner up.
And Tango Walohu. Did I get that right? A little bit. Shall I try again? Tango Waloha. Okay. Just Tua. Love that. And your families.
Just Tua. Tua is sitting in there going, just Tua.
What in the world just happened?
He screwed up the second best player in college football's name.
Who is this guy?
He's a Heisman Trophy trustee. I do not know who Vasily Krishnamurti is.
Well, he sounds like Vasily Idiot. What he sounds like.
Sure does.
Sounds like the village idiot.
Yeah.
Don't you think how important butchered. You know how important the language or the names are in the Polynesian community? And in that in there just who they are, how important that name means to get that right. You think you could stand up and get a pronunciation guide?
Well, and especially when you know who the three people are a week in advance and you literally have all week to practice.
Well, here's
the thing. You look like a bungle group of idiots.
A bungle group of idiots.
Yes. Yeah.
Vasily Krishnamurti obviously does not watch college football, which means it's concerning that he is a trustee of the Heisman Trophy.
It has nothing to do with
because football. You had last year's national championship game where Tagovailoa became a household name. And then you had 15 weeks this season of college football where Tua Tagovailoa was a name that your whole brand, the Heisman Trophy Trust, had been talking about.
And you still didn't know. He was the favorite to win the award for 14 weeks before the last week.
You had a lot of practice. And you just
So you obviously don't watch a whole lot of the product.
Or you don't care. That's the other part that bothered me. It's just you don't care. Yep.
What a game on Fox in the NFL between the Raiders and the Steelers. Back and forth the entire second half. Ben Roethlisberger held out of the third quarter with a rib injury, but it led to a flurry in the fourth. 21 points in the final 5 minutes and 20 seconds of the game. Derek Carr to Derek Carrier with 21 seconds gave Oakland a 24-21 lead. Hook and ladder to Juju Smith-Schuster set up a potential game-tying field goal for Chris Boswell.
Good snap, good hold, and the kick is blocked, and the Raiders have beaten the Steelers. It looked like Boswell lost his footing.
Oh, 24-21, Raiders win.
Don't ever blame a kicker.
Poop field.
You can feel bad about it. You can blame I blame kickers. But it's when it comes down to it, the football players should decide. That's why you don't leave it in the hands of the kickers. Because you just, they're not trustworthy. I mean, it happened in Kansas City at the end of the game. Kickers are going to do this. They're going to blame the field. The field is crappy. You got to know going into that. If you watch that in slow motion, again, slow motion ruins football. His plant foot is so at the wrong angle. Okay, just no weight balance there. Brutal.
I don't know. His foot just moved a lot too. I mean, that turf just went.
Don't you think if you're a kicker, you're going to go out and survey the area you're going to put your plant foot down on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go through those basic steps.
Players slip all the time, though.
Yeah, players slip all the time. He's a kicker. He's got one job.
And it's Bay Area grass. We forget.
We know Bay Area grass does not grow.
Great weather, horrible grass.
Buccaneers had the Saints on the ropes during their early game on Fox until the third quarter comeback when Taysom Hill turned the tides. The quarterback on special teams?
It's not going to happen if this offense doesn't get going. The punt is blocked and is recovered at the 29-yard line. Taysom Hill coming up with a huge play for the Saints.
The quarterback with the blocked punt leads to 25 unanswered points for New Orleans.
He's the new Slash in the NFL. He's incredible. He's so versatile.
He can't throw the ball.
Yes, he can. I've seen him throw the football.
It's ugly.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They don't have to worry. They got Teddy Bridgewater to do that. He's pretty versatile. He can play linebacker. He plays special teams. He runs the football. He can throw. He throws it better than Tim Tebow.
Disagree wholeheartedly. Tim Tebow would have been a better version of what Taysom Hill is if Tebow would have acknowledge that he should have been a utility player.
Well, they tried to.
He could have been that.
They tried to make him a little bit like that.
He was never willing to do it.
No, he doesn't want to, but at least Taysom Hill will go get it.
That's the thing.
He does throw the ball better than Tim Tebow.
No, absolutely not. Have you watched
Taysom Hill? No, I haven't watched him at all.
My gosh. Of course I've watched him. He was bad at BYU.
I'm not going to come out of the gate and just say he throws it better than Tim Tebow, which isn't asking a lot.
Also on Fox, the Redskins season is over, and the Giants did it to him. Yeah, you knew it was going to be a long day when the first score came off the arm of Mark Sanchez to the wrong team.
And that pass is intercepted. Curtis Riley with a Giants touchdown. And that ball looked like it was deflected. Riley was there to pick it out of the air and take it in. Riley's third interception this season and produces the first points of this game.
40-0, the Giants led the Redskins.
Well, you're not going to expect Mark Sanchez to give you anything. He's a backup guy, journeyman that just showed up, and he's like having a Coke and a smile there. He's like, here, Mark, we got about 15 plays. Can you get that down for the game?
How about Josh Johnson, though, huh? Yeah. Made me look real good.
16 points at the end of the game, huh?
You see, he hasn't had a completion in 5 years.
You're kidding.
5 years.
He was also drafted in the AAF last week.
Five years.
First round pick by the San Diego Fleet. He's going to play for Mike Martz, I think.
Why? He's still got a job in the NFL.
Yeah. Luke, here we go. A bad run got worse for the Panthers on Sunday in Cleveland. Browns had their way. Third down and two. Browns want to run a fly sweep to Jarvis Landry that they'd run earlier in the game.
They're going to give it to Landry. Jarvis Landry has a first down. Landry's still going. Look at those moves. Chased by six Panthers and finally tackled at the four. And you guess who got them? Yes, Luke Kuechly.
I went for 51 yards. Browns hand Carolina their fifth straight loss, 26-20 on Fox. But Luke Kuechly, linebacker, running down Jarvis Landry.
No, he had the Jets on. I thought that was the most amazing part is Landry was like, I am house calling this one. And Luke Kuechly said, not so fast, my friend.
Your linebacker catching a top-end wide receiver from behind, that's impressive.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And then there was in Miami. 7 seconds left, 69 yards of the end zone. Patriots leading the Dolphins by five.
Gronkowski standing at about the 15-yard line.
Why? He can't tackle anybody.
I don't know why he's back there.
I know why. They throw it up in the air. He knocked
That's
it down.
That's exactly why. Tannehill, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do. To Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's Drake. Drake! 30! 20! Gronkowski's got a tackle!
Oh, no way!
He got it in the end zone!
Touchdown! The Dolphins win it!
Unbelievable!
Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable!
I don't believe what I just saw!
There are no flags!
No flags!
And the game is over!
That was courtesy of the Dolphins Radio Network. Game, set, match, 34-33 Dolphins.
A couple guys are having a heart attack in there. That was great.
How many people are on that broadcast?
I know, there's three guys on that broadcast. Seven-man booth going in there. Whoops.
My goodness. Booger McFarland on the truck down there in the Dolphins.
Hey, congratulations to the Patriots' inability to stop the multi-hook and ladder. And also, 69 yards later, you get a touchdown and you line up Rob Gronkowski for would have been a 74-yard throw with a surgery recovering Ryan Tannehill. I'm confused with Coach Belichick on that decision, but he is the hoodie.
Isn't he the guy that has every stone turned
no,
over?
Not everybody's perfect, but it's the Miami curse. You can't be the Patriots and bet on them in Miami late in the year. You can't do it.
Yeah, they're on the boats and
it's too hot. It's too murky. It's too hot. Not used to be able to do that.
Well, the anti was for the Rams. We saw Todd Gurley did an interview after with his furry hooded coat on over his head.
Yeah.
They're afraid of
warm
the cold.
Warm teams don't like it cold, and the cold teams don't like to go play in the heat.
True that. All right, we get you set for the big game coming up right here on the Fan Tonight. Monday Night Football. Seahawks can solidify their playoff chances. Dustin Cam on the Fan. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear. Hey, you know, Eastern Washington, they made the FCS college football, semifinals?
Oh, they beat UC Davis again, huh?
They beat UC Davis. They got a lot of local kids on that team from, you know, Oregon, Southwest Washington. Did you see what the anomaly is of this year's FCS semifinals? The furthest south team remaining of the four, would you like to take a guess?
I have no idea.
South Dakota State is the furthest south because it's Eastern Washington, Maine, North Dakota State, and South Dakota State.
Got to play football when it's cold. Cold football.
My gosh. Nobody in the south apparently likes to play FCS football. They just have all their players in FBS.
Yes, they do.
Power 5 in the SEC. Yeah. All right, Monday Night Football tonight. Seahawks taking on the Vikings. Why do I feel that the Seahawks are just going to run away with this game?
I feel it too.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. I know I don't. I haven't. I just. I, it could be wrong, like anything. There's no predictions in the NFL late in the year because you're going to get the best out of a lot of guys. And you're going to get a really good effort from Minnesota tonight because they need this. They need this football game. They know it. They're going to play tough defense. They're going to try to run the football. Kirk Cousins. I don't have trust to Kirk Cousins. Mike Zimmer's going to have a good game plan. I just believe the Seahawks are better. Now, run away with this is 10. Now, Seahawks don't blow teams out unless they play the 49ers. Shot, Buck!
Help!
But I don't think a blowout is what we're talking is two touchdowns here. This is a 10-14 point game somewhere around there. I think it's going to be a good football game, but the Seahawks are better because they can run the ball.
You know, Minnesota has not beat a team with a winning record this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they have zero wins over teams with winning records. You look at the teams that they've they lost to the Rams early in the season, 38-31. They lost to the Saints by 10. They lost to the Bears 25-20, and they lost to the Patriots 24-10. Just last week, 24-10 to the Patriots. They don't have a win against a team over 500 this year. You got to do that.
What has Minnesota done this year that's different than what they did last year? They upgraded a quarterback. They had a better – Adam Thielen is a top five wide receiver in the league.
Yes.
Their defense is still really good. What have they done different? Oh, they played a tougher schedule.
Yes, just like the Jacksonville Jaguars who've taken a colossal
step backwards. That strange that when you play a real schedule, which means you're going to play better teams to play different divisions, and you can see Jacksonville and Saxonville, these teams now match up. Sometimes, I'll tell you, I've said this last year too, the wrong team won. Minnesota didn't deserve to win that football game. They did versus the Saints. Saints would have gone to the Super Bowl. They would have beat Philly. I feel that in my heart. And you'll see again this year, the Saints will be the team that represents the NFC in the Super Bowl.
So you play, you mentioned that tougher schedule. Outside of your crossover division matchups, you get two games against teams that are unique. This year, they are, because their record was so good last year, they get the Saints and they got the Seattle Seahawks for their draw of other teams. So,
what's the weather look like tonight up in Seattle? Is it clear and 40?
Okay, I don't know.
That's what it looks like. Yes, it's kind of just partly cloudy, 42 degrees. All right. Should be a good game. No excuses.
That is right here on The Fan today. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd from 9 to noon. Noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague. 3 o'clock, no primetime. That's when Seahawks pregame starts, leading you up to a 5:15 kick. Minnesota Vikings, Seattle Seahawks, Monday Night Football. We'll be back tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. This has been Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan. If you missed any of our show, check it out. Les Schwab Tires podcast on 1080thefan.com. Have a great Monday. We'll see you Tuesday.